This week, we hear the command to observe the Sabbath in our first reading, but then our text seemed to give us some different ideas about what observing the Sabbath might look like. Our first reading describes this as doing no work, and no one among us is to do any work to keep this Sabbath, not just ourselves or our children or our servants, but even slaves and livestock. Of course, this is back in the day when most people had both or had access to some of both. And yet, the command here is that no work is to be done by any of them. But then we have our gospel reading today, and Jesus seems to be saying work is okay to do on the Sabbath. Disciples are plucking heads of grain in order to eat. Jesus says that the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath because the Sabbath was made for man, not mankind for the Sabbath. And then we have Jesus himself doing some work, performing this miracle of healing and restoration for the man with the withered hand. And work in ways that all of those present, at least in the religious circles, recognize as work that's being done on the Sabbath. And of course, we still to this day continue to struggle with how do we keep the Sabbath? What does this look like? We know in our society as a whole, it would seem like we don't really keep the Sabbath, at least in the sense of refraining from work. We see that business continues, games are played, outdoor activities participated in, work seems to be being done on the Sabbath. And according to our first reading, we would say we're probably violating this command to keep the Sabbath. But when we look at our gospel reading, we would say, where's precedence here? We're doing good on the Sabbath. We are engaging in work that maybe not doesn't save lives, but at least saves our livelihoods. And if the Sabbath was made for man, can we not enjoy recreational activities that we find restful or engaging or reinvigorating on the Sabbath? Can we not be entertained by these things? Our readings, at first blush, don't give us a clear and straightforward answer for how to navigate this. And so we wrestle with what it means to keep the Sabbath. And because of this wrestling, because of this distinction that we see, we, if we think about it at all, likely think it's just up to individuals to decide. You can be like the Pharisees and be really intentional about refraining from work on the Sabbath, and that would be fine. And you could be like the disciples who may not be paying attention to the day and just engage in various activities, and that could be fine. We might even go to Romans to justify this. As Paul says, each should be convinced in their own mind that one day could be holy or all the days of the week could be holy. But of course, Paul is very clear that if we were to do that, our goal is, as individuals, to be following Christ, our Lord. Which I think often is not the case of what we are doing. A lot of times it gets a lot more individual than that, more of like, what do I want to do on the Sabbath? And other people can do whatever they want to do on the Sabbath. In which case, we find ourselves having a much more Ebenezer Scrooge sort of mentality around the Sabbath. You can keep the Sabbath in your own way, and I'll keep it in mine. Thank you very much. But that attitude that focuses on what we would like to do, I think, is really the core of our problem. Because then we are ignoring this other little aspect we hear in our first reading, that we are to keep the Sabbath holy. And of course, as we heard last week, this holiness of God, this Holy Trinity, is something beyond our understanding or conception. We do not know what it means to keep something holy. We're going to need God to work in our lives in some way if that is going to happen. And if we follow just our own guts and our own perceptions about what should happen, then we're going to miss it entirely. We are not going to know how to keep it holy. And if we focus on this holiness, I think we begin to see consistency in our readings rather than tension or opposition. We hear in our first reading that this holiness is somehow connected to the liberation God brings to the people from Egypt. They are to refrain from work because God has freed them from slavery. They now have the choice to stop doing work because they are no longer under oppressive forces. And God is saying, I have worked hard to give you this gift of rest. Take it. In fact, I command you to take it. And not only just you, but everyone else around you, even the immigrants in your land, are to take this. Because this is what I have won for you in liberating you from Egypt. This is the holiness God has brought about by offering this redemption. And a part of keeping the Sabbath holy, then, is listening to God and remembering what God has done to offer us such freedom. Of course, the challenge that we discover is that even though God has freed us, or has freed the people of Israel, we remain slaves in many ways. Slaves to our own perspectives, slaves to things that make sense to us, slaves even to hardness of heart that prevents holiness. And this is what we see happening in our gospel reading. That those gathered in the synagogue look at this man Jesus brings forward with the withered hand, and they are even looking for healing. They know Jesus can bring about healing in this person. And they don't look to say, wow, isn't that great? Or wouldn't it be wonderful if this man were healed and restored? They are looking for an opportunity to accuse Jesus. Which is why Jesus asked them, what should be done on the Sabbath? Do we do good? Do we save life? Or do we do harm and bring about death? They will not answer because they don't want to have to admit that Jesus can do good, nor, I think, do they want to admit that they themselves are seeking to do harm. And Jesus can see clearly this hardness of heart, and he is angered and grieved by it. This clashes with the holiness that God would bring on the Sabbath. This hardness of heart gets in the way. And immediately after Jesus works healing and restoration, the Pharisees go out to plot with the Herodians for his demise, that they want to bring about death on the Sabbath. And we see that though they have technically maybe kept the law around work, they certainly have not kept the Sabbath holy as they pursue this path that would lead to an innocent person's destruction. And we too find ourselves slaves to our own perspective, slaves to our own hardness of heart that gets in the way of recognizing what God is doing in our midst, that gets in the way of keeping the Sabbath holy, and in fact, gets in the way of keeping any of the commandments of God that would lead us into such holiness, that would work for life, healing, redemption, and reconciliation. But the good news we hear today is that God has freed us from this. God has set us free from a hardness of heart, from being bound to our own vantage point and perspective. This is what Paul is describing in our second reading today. Paul says, I do not proclaim myself, but I proclaim Christ as Lord. Jesus is the one you are to follow. And we recognize this as true, not just for the Sabbath, but for all the commands, that for all the law of God, if we are to understand it and apply it properly, we are going to have to follow Christ, the Son of Man, this Lord of the Sabbath, this one in whom the law finds its fulfillment. And Jesus shows us what such holiness looks like today. Jesus reveals that what he desires to do is to feed and to nourish others. It is okay that these disciples pluck heads of grain. I want them to be fed. It is okay to heal this man with a withered hand. I want him to know restoration on the Sabbath, no less, that this is something God wants to do. And so we recognize we are called to emulate Christ, to also find ways to nourish one another, find ways to offer healing and restoration to each other, following the example that this Lord of the Sabbath gives to us, seeking to keep the day holy. Now, of course, doing this is no easy feat. In fact, we don't always know what it'll look like to follow the Sabbath and to keep it holy. We can't come up with a pre conceived set of rules that will automatically ensure holiness. What we have to do is moment by moment follow Christ. And this will mean that sometimes we do some strange things. We might even look odd from the outside. This is what I think Paul is getting at today as he says, I proclaim Christ. And as I have done so, I have encountered affliction. I have encountered perplexity. I don't always know why Jesus asked me to do the things that I do. I have encountered people seeking to crush me. I've encountered many things that would look like obstacles and pushback that would make me doubt, am I really doing the right thing? And yet internally, I am sustained. I am nourished by this love of God that drives me on. I persevere in the face of these challenges, in the face of hearing that what I'm doing is strange, for the sake of bearing witness to Christ, for the sake of making God's love known. And this is what it will mean to keep the Sabbath holy. This is what it will mean to live in holiness with God. The ultimate climax of this is what Paul says, that we carry the death of Christ in our bodies, that we allow others to see the ways in which we experience pushback, that we experience challenge and difficulty, maybe even that we experience wrestling within ourselves about what actions we should perform as we seek to follow this one who is the Son of Man, who is the Lord of all. But as we do this, we are also making the life of Christ visible in our bodies. That somehow, engaging in life in this way, we seek to make Jesus known. That others somehow might catch a glimpse of Christ through our living, through our actions. Of course, in order for that to happen, we need Christ to be at work in us. And so we hunger for this. We long for Jesus to come and work in our lives, to help lead us and guide us and shape us. We look to Jesus and what he is doing, and we have anticipation. We have excitement. We do not look to try to say, how do we get rid of what Christ is doing? But no, we look to see, how do we participate in what Christ is doing? And of course, we have such hungering satisfied today. Such hungering that may look strange to the world, that may even rub up against both civil and religious rules and authorities. And yet, this hunger Christ satisfies in this meal that we share. Here Jesus shows up in this bread and wine, body and blood, and reveals to us this holiness of God that works for our redemption and restoration. Here on the Sabbath, Christ is still doing work for us, still feeding us, still restoring us to life, and still sending us out to bear witness to what we have experienced here. And so we know we are called to go forth to celebrate and share this love of Christ, and that is where we may find holiness. We may find that we're called to do this not just on the Sabbath, but on every day. But especially on the Sabbath, we are to remember this work that God has done for us and are called to celebrate and share that same holiness, that same work, that same love with others. And as we do, we find our perspectives changed. We no longer look at the actions of those around us with suspicion. We don't look at the actions of those around us trying to figure out, did they keep the law or not? We don't even look at our own actions in the same way. Instead, we see clearly what God has done to bring about redemption, restoration, and nourishment for us in this world. And we can only look at our lives and the lives of others with awe and gratitude. And so we go out today, ready to proclaim to all we meet this good news of what God has done. We go out with joy, and all we can say is thanks be to God. Amen.